Thank you, Andrew. Good morning, everybody. It's great that we can be here together online, although we are not meeting together face to face, but it is great that we can meet together and we can continue to encourage one another, as Andrew started out this morning. But I just want to say a massive well done and amazing to Melanie and to Lisa for just following the spirit this morning, being brave and sharing those words of encouragement. You can say, Malcolm, that your prayers were answered today because you prayed that today everything would fit together. And today what I'm going to preach about is exactly what Melanie and Lisa spoke on, and they don't have a clue what we are going to be preaching and teaching about over these next few weeks. But what we do want to be talking about is looking at the range of things connected to mental health, fear, anxiety, and a whole load of other things that we just want to bring out into the open, that we want to pick through about how we as Christians respond in a world that is full of anxiety and fear at the moment. How do we as Christians live in a world like that? And how can we really overcome by God's help? And it was great to hear Lisa's testimony of how she's experienced that, because this is really practical. And so I just want to say thank you to you guys for contributing this morning. Really has set the scene for my preach, and I really sense that the Spirit of God is in this and wants to speak to us on a variety of different levels. So as I said, over the next few weeks, we're going to start a new series looking at some of the areas of mental health, dealing with fear, overcoming anxiety, and a few different elements of managing how we can take our thoughts captive, how we can manage our thought life. We're going to get different people to come and preach and to share maybe some of their experiences, some testimonies of how people have overcome. We're going to get different people in to come and look at different aspects. And the overarching verse that we're going to be taking this from is 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. Does anybody know what that is? Well, if you don't know, it's that scripture that says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind." And what a verse for us at this particular time. What a promise from us. And so we're going to take that verse and we're going to unpack it and look at different aspects all around this whole idea of just taking our thoughts captives, mental health, dealing with anxieties and fears. So I'm going to jump straight in this morning. And I want to talk about this morning is the subject of fear, how we can battle against fear and how we can overcome fear by the help of God. You know, fear and anxiety want to have a paralyzing influence on our life. Yeah. And, you know, many people battle with fear and anxiety, and it's something that I can say that I've battled with. And, you know, so I can speak with a degree of really kind of knowing what are some of the issues and challenges that people have in this area. Fear and anxiety, its purpose is to stop us enjoying life, and it's to stop us even fulfilling what God has for us. And you know, I'm absolutely sure and convinced that that is not what God intends for us. God does not intend for us to be so wrapped up in guilt, so held back, that we don't fulfill or don't do or don't fulfill what he has for us. So keep that in mind as we go through this message this morning. You know, all of us have choices to make every single day. We have hundreds of choices to make. But one choice that we can make, and one thing that we need to remind ourselves, continually remind ourselves, is that God is in control. And if God is in control, therefore we can say, "Behind me, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." As Christians, as children of God, we those that are under his protection and under his security, we can say, "Yes, surely goodness and mercy are following me. I'm not looking behind, and I'm not going to let terror or calamity or fear or destruction or worry or negativity or that sense of always feeling the worst. You know, that I'm not expecting that to be my inheritance. Goodness and mercy is what the Bible says are the things that follow the children of God. So and it's so easy to kind of get into a mindset, or so easy for us to get into a place where it just becomes a normal part of how we think and how we process. But guys, this isn't fear and anxiety isn't something that God has for us to process the world through. He's actually given us relationship. He's given us freedom. The cross and what Jesus did upon the cross is the antidote to fear and anxiety. But, you know, even though he's overcome, we still need to apply and keep applying those truths to our lives and to our thinking to overcome. And it's a daily battle. But got news for you. If you're a Christian, we're in the battle. We're in the battle to see God overcoming. You know, all of us from time to time will face fear. And we need to know how to face those fears when they come. And actually, we're living in a world at the moment that is full of fear, perhaps like a time like never before. But, you know, in spite of everything that's going on around us, God's people are not to live in fear. And I say that not just as a cast off comment, but I say that as a child of God, that we need to press into the promises of God and take hold of those thoughts that come against us to try to paralyze us, and really see the word of God free us. The word of God has power in it to free us from those that oppression that the enemy wants to bring. So whether it's about coronavirus, whether it's about another issue that's going on in your life, God doesn't want those things to be the things that ultimately have real influence over us. So let's just look at a couple of things. What is fear? Well, fear is the unpleasant emotion caused by a threat of danger, pain, or a harm, or a mistake. It's an uneasy feeling, a feeling of dread, a feeling of alarm, a feeling of being threatened about something. So how does a believer, you won't believe what's going on here, how does a believer live in faith and in peace in a fearful generation, and in a generation where COVID is running rife, where there's isolation, fears of the future? All these things are a real battle. How does a believer overcome? Isaiah 41 verse 10 says this. This is a great promise. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Yeah. Isaiah 41 verse 10. So I was thinking, why is there fear in the world, in this perfect world that God created? You know, fear really came because of our rebellion against God. And man decided to do things his own way, to walk away from God, and to try to walk away and do things in our own strength. But what that brought is separation from God. And do you recall the first conversation that Adam had with God after the fall? Adam said, "I was afraid."
Yeah.
He said, "Where are you?" And he said, "Well, I hid because I was afraid." And, you know, ever since that moment, man has battled with fear. Even though, as I said, we have an antidote. There's a lot of talk about vaccines and antidotes. Even though we have the antidote to fear, which is Jesus Christ, we still need to apply. We still need to take control of our mind and take control of the fear that the enemy wants to give. It's an ongoing battle. But, you know, when we apply the word of God, when we apply the truths, when we apply the power of the Holy Spirit, God can come and deliver us from crippling fear, because sometimes that is what it feels like, and that is the reality if we let fear run its course. So just look at a couple of types of fear. There is good fear, and a good fear is the fear of God. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." You know, when the Bible says fear the Lord, it means to acknowledge him. It means to honor him. It means to revere him. It means to respect him. And to fear the Lord, it doesn't mean to be absolutely terrified of him, but it means to respect him, as it were. And that's a good fear. And really, since And if we truly get hold of this idea about the truly understanding the fear of God, then if I fear God, I will not fear anything else.
That's right, yeah.
And that's a good perspective to have. The fear of God actually isn't a crippling, oppressing thing. It's a trust and a love and a surrender to God that gives us and brings us freedom. Fearing God should bring us into life, not bondage. Proverbs 19 verse 20 says, "Fear the Lord. Fear of the Lord leads to life, bringing security and protection from harm."
Yeah.
So, you know, guys, if we fear anything else other than God, I was thinking today that we've lost sight of the majesty and the authority of God. The only person in the universe, actually the only thing that we should really fear in this way is God himself. You know, there's also bad fear, and there's a bad fear that comes from the devil, comes from the enemy, and that's an accusational fear. John 10 verse 10 says, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give life, and that they may have life in abundance." You know, the enemy comes to twist our emotions and our circumstances to try to put fear on us. Can anybody relate to this? I can relate to that. Well, what sort of things are you talking about? I'm talking about things like fear of death, fear of criticism, fear of being exposed, fear of failure, whole lot of other things that the enemy tries to come and to place upon us. And those things actually make a massive difference to us in the way that we go around and we interact with other people, and actually how we even interact with God.
Yeah.
And, you know, the devil tries to come and use our emotions, our fears to control our thoughts. And ultimately it's about him trying to manipulate us. And we don't want to give ourselves, do we, over to anybody, any other influence other than the Holy Spirit to be influencing us. And what's important to remember is that our emotions just aren't in our head, but actually our emotions affect our whole body. And so actually when we are emotionally attacked, it also affects us physically as well. And there's no way that you can just be suffering in your emotions or in your mind and then say, well, actually that doesn't work out. They're all kind of illnesses and things that actually are outworked physically because of the mental stuff that we're going through. But you know, the Bible says that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and so we need to take care. We need to take care of our mind, and we need to take care of our bodies. You know, there's only one you, and you know, you need to be positioning yourself so you can be that influence, and be that Jesus representative on the earth. You know, you need to take yourself, you need to take care of your mind and your emotions, as well as making sure that we take care of our bodies as well. Don't give the devil a foothold in your thinking. Be on your guard. Identify areas and ways that he comes to plant fear in your life. You know, the mind is a massive battleground, and we must take control over it. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "But as he thinks in his heart, so he is." You know, so often, you know, people that have fear and anxiety can have this sense of dread, have this sense of fear that something is going to come against them. You know, that I can't put my finger on it, but I'm just sensing that something bad is going to happen. Have you ever felt like that? It can be quite a common thing. And, you know, that's just an attack and a lie of the enemy. And we have to deal with those thoughts when they come straight away and with very, very strong terms. Just as you feel those things coming against you, start to deal with them. I have to do that. And, you know, it's much easier to deal with something before it takes root. Yeah. So much easier to deal with something when you feel you're feeling overwhelmed. Just like Lisa said, she was feeling overwhelmed. Just to be honest and open. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that even Lisa shared. But deal with those things when they happen straight away. We go back to the word. We look at what God says who we are. We look at what God's plans are for us. And we let them govern our thoughts, not the lies of the enemy, not the things that we're presented with that sometimes, and I've discovered that probably 9 out of 10 things of the things that we worry about actually never happen. But we spend time worrying about those 9 things, and actually they limit our capacity.
Yeah.
And when actually, if we go back to the word of God and we live in a higher degree of faith, and I'm not saying it's always easy to do that, it's a battle, but guys, God does want to move, and we want to make this these sessions, this next series, so practical, so that we're seeing people break through out of issues to do with what's going on in our mind and mental health, all of these things. We want to see a breakthrough, and for us as the church to come into a greater place of freedom.
Yes.
You know, the word of God says, I'm loved, I'm precious, I'm accepted. You know, the enemy comes to say you're rejected.
Yeah.
You're unloved.
Yeah.
You're unwanted. Those are the lies that the enemy feeds. And we need to counteract those lies with the truth of the word of God. I am loved. I am precious. I am accepted. My identity is in him and who he says that I am, not in what I what the enemy is trying to come and bring against you. You know, what you think about yourself is very, very important.
Yeah.
So instead of having good mental and emotional health, fear can become part of our emotions if we're not careful. Therefore, that's why it's so important that we have to be on our guard and stand against the attacks of the enemy. You know, there are so many outworkings of fear that we see in the world around us that we might not even associate to fear. But let me just run through a few things. Greed is one. That's fear that I might not have enough. Fear that I won't be able to get all that I want, so therefore I'm going to act in the opposite spirit. Rejection, fear of being accepted. Will they? Perhaps they won't like me. That's another fear. Guilt is another fear. Feeling of fear that I may be found out. A lack of confidence. Sometimes that's a fear of failure, or that I might not measure up to what other people think about me. A lack of confidence, I might not be accepted. Jealousy, fear of losing control. Someone may get what I should be getting or what I deserve. Indecision, a fear of making the wrong decision. You know, if I perhaps if I do that, I'll be embarrassed, or what happens if it doesn't work out, or what about this and what about that? It, actually, the root of it, if you look at kind of some of the processes that we go through in life, is fear. All of those are different expressions of fear in our life. But what does the Bible say? God's not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us love and power and a sound mind. Can you just see how incredibly powerful that one promise and that one verse is in the Bible, and how relevant it is for us? It is so relevant, especially in this particular period and season that we're going through. Take hold of that scripture and the other scriptures that talk about how we can battle against the lies of the enemy. So I just want to look at a couple of causes of fear. So, causes of fear can be learned attitudes. They may be experiences or things that we've learned as we're growing up. I think I might have shared that my mum is petrified of thunder. My dad didn't want to perpetuate that. So I remember once it was thundering, it was pouring down with rain, and my dad went out into the little courtyard that we had in our house and just danced around in the rain, in the thunder, and because he wanted to dispel any fear. And you know what? I don't have a fear of thunderstorms anymore, in just a small little thing. But it's interesting that, you know, that the fears are so easily kind of passed on. And so they may be learned attitudes. Well, like, that's how my mum dealt with stuff, so it's kind of how I'm going to deal with things. You don't have to take on the fears and the anxieties of even our parents. It can be imagination. It can be things that sometimes our fears can be irrational. It can be things like, you know, well, something happened to me when I was young, or fears of the dark, things like that. Other causes of fear, sin causes fear because it separates us from God. And therefore, we feel exposed and not under his protection. God, that's not God's plan for us. And I just thank God for the gift of repentance and the gift of forgiveness. It's wonderful. We don't have to let that issue of sin be a cause of fear in our lives. You know, doubt can be a cause of fear. If you're living doubting God's love for you, if you are doubting God's promises, well, they actually apply to everybody else. Those people are much nicer than I am. You know, that's a lie, because God no less loves you than anybody else. He loves you, and he loves you as his child. And actually, if you're doubting that, come to God and let God set you free. Because that is the truth is that God does love you, whether you feel like it or not, whether you feel that you've earned it or not. God loves you. That's his word. So don't reject God's word. If you're living in doubt, the doubt of God's love and God's promises for you, then, you know, that's a great foundation to build a tower of fear on. If we're doubting what God says in his word, don't, you know, knock down that fear in your life and start to build upon the promises of God. If that makes sense. Rejection is another cause of fear. This is one of the real significant causes of fear. So many people that have faced rejection know what it means to feel a lack of confidence, feeling unworthy, feelings of feeling that I just don't belong. Those are really that spirit of rejection is something that is so powerful and horrible and heartbreaking. Yet that's what Jesus did upon the cross. He died upon the cross to break the power of all of these curses that the enemy continues to throw at us. So we really can, being honest and open and being real, process this with the Lord and be set free. You know, 1 John 4 verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And the thing is, fear by its very nature wants to come and take control of you, and it wants to come and take control of me. And guys, as I said, we're not going to give ourselves over to another influence, are we? We're not going to give ourselves over to another influence other than the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We're not going to give in to any other influence that's going to come in, that wants to come and take control of our lives. We're going to give our lives over to God and continually need to do it. And as I said, it's something that we need to do over and over and over and over again. And that's an aspect of discipleship, is that we're walking, we're surrendering our lives, we're giving our lives, we're laying our lives down for God as we walk through as believers. So bear that in mind as we talk about overcoming fear. So let me just quickly just run through a couple of other things. What are the consequences of fear? No peace. You know, if you're fearful about something, it steals your peace. If you live in fear that something is just around the corner, or, you know, something is going to happen, I better cross my fingers, or I better, touch wood just in case something happens. That's not how we are to live as Christians. But it's horrible when the enemy comes and he attacks us with those horrible feelings that, something is about to happen. And you can't quite put your finger on it, but nevertheless, it's there. Thoughts like that steal our peace. And they actually impede our ability to think and to act. So that's one of the consequences of fear. You know, another consequence is that it undermines our self-confidence. We're unsure about decisions. What should we do? I'm not really sure. I can't step forward because I'm not really sure what to do. Another one would be feelings of panic. I don't know if you've ever felt like that before, but for some people that this feeling of panic and just feeling generally unsteady, that something bad, you know, it's horrible. These are consequences of fear. You know, another one is it destroys relationships. So actually sometimes we don't want to get close to people in case they hurt us. And therefore we reject people. And But, you know, that again is not something that God wants, you know, as a, especially as, you know, as a Christian and a Christian community, we're to love one another, open our lives to one another, welcome input and draw close to one another. You know, another consequence of fear is that it steals happiness and joy. Someone said that fear is like putting sand in an engine. It gets into every part of the engine and it grinds it down. You know, one of the other really terrible things about fear is that fear can block your spiritual growth. Does God want that for you? He does not want that for you. He wants you to excel. He wants you to be free. He wants you to live this that abundant life to the full. He doesn't want anything to hinder your destiny in God. And as we said before, fear can affect our physical health through a number of different ways, ulcers and the whole load of other things, which I'm sure that we will kind of talk about as we go through this series. But praise God, we have some good news. We have another path to walk, not of fear, but of giving ourselves and our minds over to God. I've got five very, very quick points I want to do just as I bring things to an end and wrap things up. So what are the things that we can do to deal with fear? So number one, and this is something that Lisa mentioned today, is acknowledge that you're struggling in this area and don't just deny it. So we're being very practical here today. We want to be very practical. Acknowledge that you're struggling with fear or whatever it is, or anxiety. Don't just deny it. Naming your worst fear is an important key.
Yeah.
Fear that is unnamed can grow out of all proportion, but there is something about bringing things into the light. There's something about naming it. There's something about confessing it. And what does the Bible say? Confess our sins to one another that we may be healed.
Yeah.
And so bringing things into the open, naming those things, however difficult or dark, bringing them into the light means that we can begin to manage them. So if you're struggling with fear, if you're struggling with anxiety, you know, I know that sometimes you don't want to share it. You know, what will other people say? But find a trusted friend. Find somebody that you can say, actually, I want to hit this thing. I want to be set free from this. And this is the issue. You know, sometimes actually when we bring it out into the open, and, you know, when we share it, there is something about the power of that thing is more often than not can be actually cut, or significant proportion of its power is cut when we start to confess it and share it. Actually, it doesn't seem this huge mountain seem so big when we start to share it. So that's my first point. It's very, very important. Secondly, identify the cause of anxiety or fear that you may have. Think about, why am I afraid? Is it something that I have done? Or is it something that is coming from somebody else that somebody is putting on me? It's important to understand and try to identify fear. Where is it coming from? So that you can handle it. And if you can identify where it's coming from, then it will be easier to handle it. But if we're not honest and we don't try to identify it, we will never truly get to the root where this fear is coming from. Thirdly, pray and encounter God. Psalm 34 verse 4 says, and listen to this, it's awesome. I sought the Lord, he answered me, he delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. So as we heard in the testimony, you know, if you need help, find a prayer partner. Find somebody that you can really just bear your heart with and say, this is what I'm struggling with, but I know that God wants to set me free. I'm not settling for this situation that I'm in. I know God's got something better for me. James 5 verse 16 says, pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a powerful or righteous person is powerful and effective. Point four, believe and trust God. Mark 5 verse 36, and Jesus was speaking to Jairus. He said, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. Sometimes actually that's what we need to hear, isn't it? Don't be afraid, just trust. Just take that promise as it is given. Trust God. Begin to trust him, not concentrate upon fears and the what ifs and the, you know, this may happen and whatever it is. Just believe. And lastly, change your focus. Take your eyes off your problems and take your eyes off yourself and look to Jesus. Psalm 56 verse 3 says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Aren't these incredibly rich and powerful, comforting, and really awesome promises that can really bring power and deliverance? Hebrews 13 verse 6 says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. So we're not just focusing upon fear, but we're focusing upon God. And, you know, if we focus on fear, it's not going to get any smaller. We're focusing upon Jesus. We're confessing it. We're getting help. We're not denying it. We're not just kind of sweeping it under the carpet. We're being real. And I think it's important as Christians that we be real with one another, that we share. We don't always spend time going through season after season after season after season after season of difficulties. We go through seasons of difficulties and then we come out of those seasons. So share with each other. Be honest. Stand with one another. Encourage one another in the season where it's difficult, that we may really be a church, a people, Christians, children of God, that are really being set free from the bondage of what the enemy wants to bring. And the enemy is having a field day at the moment. And we've especially, got to put that helmet of salvation on. So turn your focus in times of difficulty. Let's change the focus and let's put the focus upon God. And I just want to end with Isaiah 40:41. It's a real anchor in terms of how we can combat fear. And Psalm 40, well, I read it at the beginning, but Psalm 41 verse 10 says, so do not fear. And I want to just say, why? How is that possible? Because the scripture goes on to say, for I am with you. Yeah. And who is with us? Almighty God, creator of the universe, the one that rules over everything. Yeah. You know, when somebody, if I say to you, don't be afraid, okay, what kind of authority does that have? But when Almighty God, the God of the universe, says do not be afraid, you can take him at his word, and you, that can make all the difference. God saying it, not just me. I'm not saying it. God is saying, his word is saying, do not fear. It says then that scripture in Isaiah 41 says, do not be dismayed, which means don't be anxious, shocked, horrified. Why? Because we can put our focus on God. He says, because I am your God. I'm not. So we're not talking about a man, not talking about your mum or your dad, not talking about a human person, but you're talking about, this is God. And then the scripture goes on, I will strengthen you. How much strength? How can you measure the strength of God? He's omnipotent. He's all powerful.
Yeah.
I will strengthen you. And that's the strength that God is going to strengthen you, as we say, God, please help me through my troubles and my struggles. And he says that he will uphold you with his right hand, with his omnipotent strength, his endless strength. That is what the power that is there, the resources, as it were. Now, in all of the process of doing this, that we're just bringing ourselves again, say, God, I want to be real. I'm struggling with these issues. Please help me to overcome. And I hope that some of the things that I've shared with you, practical things, if we put those into action and ask for help from God, or ask for help from others around us, we will see us breaking through into new areas. And God wants to remind us, just as I finish, that whatever you face, that you are in his hands, that the God of the universe, he's the one that will hold you.
Yes.
The God of the universe, he's the one that will lift you up. He's the one that wants to strengthen you. He will sustain you. And guys, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from his love. And if you believe that, you may say amen.
Amen.
It's that is the truth of this scripture. Does God change? No. Are his promises the same? Yes. Is that verse, those verses that we've read there from Isaiah, are they applicable to you? Yes, they are. Do not fear. Why? God is with you. And so if there's anything that we need to put right today, if you're struggling with fear and anxiety, and I would say to some degree, most of us do, then can we come to God today? And this isn't just a sermon that we're just finishing and then we're moving on. I want to encourage you. Yes, I'm going to pray a prayer, but I want to encourage you. If this is a particular stronghold and issue for you, that you find somebody that you can get with, and so that somebody can just pray with you and pray for you, that you can do business with God, be accountable to God, and be accountable to some other people, and you can start the journey of breaking through. Out of fear and anxiety. And we don't want to be under that oppression anymore. And we've got to encourage one another, because actually some of us look like we're doing great on the outside, but massive battles are taking place on the inside. So be honest, be open, share, take God at his word, and take the promises of God and apply them. And let's see us as a congregation and individually breaking out into it. More and more freedom and liberty in the Lord. So let's just pray, and I'd like just maybe we can just take a time, just you know, a few minutes or just a minute or so, just to do business with God. It's so easy for me just to say a prayer and then bam, we're finished and we just move on, but this is so important. We don't want to sweep any of these issues under the carpet. We want to bring them out and let God to be the surgeon and be the one that really helps us overcome these issues. Can we just be quiet for a few moments? And why don't you just reach out to God wherever you are in your homes. Bring those issues, those areas. Maybe there's a particular thing in your heart that that you're battling with. Father, thank you as we look to the cross and see that you triumphed over every principality and power, how you declare that your name is the name above every name, above fear, above anxiety, above depression, above isolation, whatever it is, Lord, your name is above every name. I thank you that when we face the situations of life, when we go into work, where we feel overwhelmed, Lord, that your grace is more than enough. And I pray, Father, that you, Lord, would stir our hearts, Lord God, to be honest and real with one another. That, Lord, we would pray for one another, that we would be healed in these areas that may have kept us bondage for years. Lord, would you set your people free? Lord, would you deal with issues of rejection and issues of trust and things, Lord God, that we so many people are wrestling with. Father, we know that so many times they're rooted in fear. Or would you rid us? Would you deal with that root cause of fear in our lives? I pray, Lord, it would be destroyed. I pray it will be cut off. I pray, Lord God, that we would see CLC and our individual lives so much more free, Lord God, as we take you at your word and your promises. Lord, I pray, Lord, would you do something in our community? I thank you that for what was shared today, with people opening their hearts, being vulnerable, sharing what they're feeling you saying to them. I pray, Father, that this will be a new season for us in reaching out and being vulnerable, and but showing, Lord God, what it is like to be your disciple and how much your word and the cross makes a difference in our lives. Lord, I pray your blessing upon every person that's listening today. Lord, would you, Lord, work by your spirit, God, in each family, each individual, each life, Lord, that we may see a turnaround and a breakthrough for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll hand over to Andrew. Back to you, Andrew.